When I first visited the Presbyterian manse down in Rockbridge Baths at Bethesda 50 years ago now, I poked a stick in the dirt to see what the possibilities for having a garden might be. And I could not believe what I turned over. It was dark, rich and loamy, full of all kinds of organic matter. It was wonderful. And what few rocks there were smooth and rounded and scattered far apart. This, I said, is garden soil that could be found only in heaven. I did not suspect the wire grass. Now, bless the search committee's heart, some of them knew about it, and they shrugged and pointed to it and said wiregrass, shook their heads. But I didn't know what they were talking about. I had never heard of wiregrass. I had never seen any. It never grew anywhere I had ever lived before in my life. And so I came to realize that wiregrass is one of the most pernicious weeds that ever entangled a garden. It grows with underground runners, sharp pointed stolons that weave a thick net under the surface of the earth and then send up innocent looking little blades of grass. It can grow a measurable distance in a day. I have seen it grow through a potato. These runners are the ruination of any garden. It's so persistent that if you leave the smallest little scrap of it in the earth, it will regenerate itself and begin to grow again tomorrow morning. Wiregrass. I'm grateful that I encountered that patch of wiregrass in Rockbridge Baths. It taught me a number of spiritual lessons. Lessons like this. There are no fields or gardens where only vegetables and flowers grow. All God's gardens got weeds. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while they were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. That's how it is here. Jesus indicates there is a menacing power out there planting weeds among things of value. The stubborn fact of evil will not go away. It does exist here in God's creation. The search for an explanation of the reality of evil has consumed the philosophers' thoughts for generations. Genesis says, "The Lord God made every plant of the field." And that certainly includes wiregrass and thistles and chicory and pigweed and jimson weed and quickweed and smartweed and lamb's quarter and all the rest of them. Our difficulty is expressed in the question of Robinson Crusoe's Man Friday, who asked, If God is stronger than the devil, why he no kill the devil? An enemy has done this. How often that dark source has ruined a good planting. Every garden has weeds. So what are we going to do about it? Our first thought, of course, is to get rid of them, to do some cultivation. Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds? Do you want us to go and gather them? The first year, I did not have enough respect for my personal patch of wiregrass. It was sprouting here and there, but I treated it like ordinary weeds. My tiller chopped it up nicely and brought it up to the surface, exposing it to the drying sunshine. And I thought, surely now that's going to kill it. What I didn't know is that wiregrass can survive conditions that would kill a cactus. In fact, the second spring, I had about twice as much wiregrass as I started with. All I had done was chop it up and scatter it around. I realized that something would have to be done, so I talked with my neighbor, Jim Newell. Mr. Newell had decided to have a garden in a plot that was so choked with wiregrass that he told me a small tractor trying to turn the dirt choked down, could not pull through it. It had been that thick. Now today we have some chemical sprays that are very effective, I have to admit. But in the 1960s, he told me the only remedy is physical removal. So I got down on my knees and I pulled out wiregrass and put it in bushel baskets. And I made a big pile of it and I burned it. You know what? The third season, it came up all over my garden. Even in the places where I thought I had picked it clean. A farmer stood there with me and said, "You know, preacher, the smoke from that stuff will take root." Do you want us to go and gather them? Every now and then, you're going to meet someone who's got great ideas about purifying the Christian church. What's wrong with the church today is that it's got too many weeds in it. What we need is to get rid of everybody who's not a sincere, genuine Christian, like me. We've got too many of these just passing along kind of members in our churches who are drifting with it. What we've got to do is root out those slackers, those free thinkers. We want only people who have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, even if it means we have to persecute anyone who has dangerous thoughts. We need to cleanse the church. A director of Christian children's home down in the lower part of Virginia said to me, "We would not hire anyone who is in error." I think that means anyone who doesn't agree with me. Lord, do you want us to gather them? Take a lesson from my wiregrass. It would be foolish to expect that we could exterminate all the evil in the church and the world. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against the secret ruler of this world. Anyway, the evil is too deeply rooted in all of us. This is the problem with social reformers and those moralists who spring up in every generation. As they set out in grim earnest on their virtuous crusades, these good people overlook the fact that the very thing they are campaigning against is growing in their own soul. They don't see it. They ignore it. They look at the sins of others. The very vice they are attacking lives in them. Fanatical reformers do precisely what the servants in the parable I just read you wanted to do. They want to exterminate the weeds with force, with willpower, failing to remember that their own gardens are full of weeds. Do you want us to go and gather them? What did Jesus say? No. No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together. The problem, of course, was not one of killing wiregrass. I could have done that even in the 60s. There were chemicals available. Do you remember those numbers? 2,4-D, 2,4-5-T. The same herbicides we were using to defoliate the jungles of Vietnam. But those chemicals would have ruined my garden, sterilized it. I would have lost everything and not been able to use it for years. And that's what concerns Jesus. The minute you go exterminating weeds, you're likely to take some wheat too. It would be unavoidable if they were growing close together. My dear wife Anna grew up on a family farm, and she still recalls as a child with a sharp hoe down in the cornfield, getting the weeds out from around the corn and accidentally chopping off corn stalks. And she says she would stick them back in the dirt and hope her daddy would not notice. Weeding is as delicate and dangerous an operation as you can imagine. Once when Jesus got a cool reception in a Samaritan village, his disciples asked him, "Lord, do you want us to bid fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" And Jesus rebuked them, saying, "You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them." If we were to organize Operation Clean Sweep, if we were to throw out of the church all the sinners and hypocrites, the borderliners, all the other wobblers in the faith, in order to keep a small, elite, closed circle of true saints, real Presbyterians, then we would be interfering with God's plan. Let all of it grow together. When the bells in church steeples ring, they don't just go down the road and look for members of the congregation, good solid Presbyterians. They reach out to everyone saying, come, worship God. Come, learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine if you met everyone at the door with a clipboard and a questionnaire, and you ask them when they got out of the car and came up the walkway, what have you done good this week? Or what have you done bad? What do you believe? What are your ideas about the Trinity? And then say to some, now you pass, you come in, and you, no, you don't fit, you go back home. Can you imagine doing that? God knows we don't all come to church for the same reasons. But we are all human, and we have the same needs. God also knows the sickness, the weariness, the boredom, the stinging consciences, all a part of us gathered here, how we yearn for something to cling to. And after studying this parable of our Lord, I confess to you that I will never again use that term I heard so much as I was coming through the system, a nominal church member. Not me, not anymore. Jesus says, let them come. Welcome them. Let both grow together. Maybe after all, you and I cannot distinguish right away between weeds and wheat. Commentators on this passage say that the weed that was sown was probably darnel or false wheat. Looks exactly like wheat when it begins to grow, and until harvest time, you can't tell the difference between one and the other. Now, Jesus is not telling us that we can't distinguish between good and evil. We can't. What he is saying is that we need to be careful. Socrates said, he who takes only a few things into account finds it easy to pass judgment. Jesus says, wait and see. Wiregrass. There was a common saying that the only way to get rid of raw grass was to die and leave it. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them into bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barn. Until the harvest. That's what makes this parable. God is in control. Good and evil are as distinguishable as weeds and wheat. There is no ultimate confusion about this. God sends his rain and sun on the evil and the good until the harvest. Then there will be a separation. And that last judgment is going to be full of surprises. Because God is more merciful than we are. And God is stricter than we are. And God knows more than we know.